In Tes Amud Aleph, and we're about halfway through the Amud Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So we're talking about those who live in a chotzer, and they left a pas, a loaf of bread, for an Erev Chatzeris. And one of the people in that chotzer is Makpid Al Hamakpid Al Eruvo. In other words, he doesn't want anyone else to eat from that pas. It is makpid that none of the bnei achabura should eat from his pas. Ein eruvo eruv. In such a case, the entire eruv is bata. And the reason for that is mashmo eruv shmo. This pas, which is being given by the bnei achotzer, is called an eruv. An eruv means that we're all meuravim. We're all together in one partnership, and no one would object or protest to the other one if he ate it. But here, he's makpid, and therefore, that undermines the eruv. Rashi's language is interesting. He says, "Shiyu kulam meuravim umerutzim bo." Right? It's a shutfis nocha v'areva, and the poskim write that the person should make sure not to, not to single out something that's very expensive, a pashtida, a very fancy cooked food, because maybe it'll be makpid on it, and then it won't be a valid eruv. Rab Chanina Omar eruvo eruv, el shenikra mianshe vardino. In other words, the bnei chotzer have a valid chotzer, even if one of them is makpid that the others shouldn't eat from it. But we'll give him a name and call the Anshe Vardina. Those were the people who were known for their stinginess. They were Tzoros Ayin. Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel HaCholek Es Eruvo Eino Eruv. So let's say they gathered together the Bnei HaChotzer and they collected a pas from all the different residents there, and they left it in a house in two different kelim. So Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that in such case the Erev is not meaningful, because again, Mashmo Erev Shmo, it's got to be Ma'urov, and if it's in two different Kalim, then it's not Ma'urov, it's got to be in one Kli. So Gemara asks the Kasha, Kiman, this statement, this ruling of Shmuel, seems to reflect the Shita Beit Shammai. The Sanya, we learned in the Braisa, that Chamishev, five people reside in one common Chotz, Shigavos Eruvan. And each one of these five people contributed his pas, his loaf of bread, for the purpose of an Erev Chatzeros. V'nasnuhu b'shnei kelim. So the different loaves of bread that were collected for this Erev Chatzeros were placed into different utensils. So Shmuel is reflecting now the Shita of Beit Shammai, that if the Erev was split into two different Kalim, then it's not called an Erev, it's not Me'urav, as we said before. And that makes no sense, that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel should reflect the Shita Beit Shammai against Beis Hillel. We always accept the Shita Beis Hillel. So Gemara answers, Afilu Tema, even if we'll assume that Shmuel holds like Beis Hillel, Ad Kan Lo Kamri Beis Hillel Hasam. When does Beis Hillel reject Beit Shammai and validate the Eruv in two Kalim? That's only Ella Demalion Limona V'Iyater. That he filled up one utensil, and that's where he put the various loaves of bread for the Eruv, but it overflowed. There wasn't enough room in that utensil, and therefore he, against his will, had to take another Kli in order to complete the Eruv. Then, in that case, Beis Hillel validates the Eruv. Aval hecha de palge miflag, lo. If they deliberately, from the get-go, decided to split the Eruv into two different Kalim, then even Beis Hillel would be modi, would concede to Beis Shammai that that's not a valid Eruv. And that's why Shmuel says, ha-cholik es eruvo eno Eruv. The Gemara asks, v'tarti lomali, why did Shmuel have to teach me two dinim? He taught me the din of Hamakvid al Eruvo. Now he teaches me Acholek es Eruvo. And the underlying reason is identical in both cases, that the Eruv has to be all the Bnei Achotzim Urav B'yachad. That's why it doesn't work in a case where one is Makvid, that the other shouldn't eat from his Eruv. And for the same token, and by the same reasoning, if they split it into two Kalim, it's not valid. Tzrichi. We need both statements. To Iyashmin and Hossam, if Shmuel had only taught us the case where he's makpid on his Eruv, there we would say it's not called an Eruv Mishum de Kapid. He's makpid that others should not eat the Eruv from his pas. Aval Hocha, but here in the case where he splits his Eruv into two Kalim, no one's being makpid on anyone else in the Chatzir, and everyone laissez-faire would allow anyone else in the Chatzir to eat the pas. Same Allah, I would think that the fact that this Chalukah into two Kalim is Eina Poselis, it would not undermine the validity of the Erev. Yishmi El Hoch, if we only had the case where he splits his Erev into two Kalim, we would come to the conclusion that only in this case the Erev is Posel, because Miflag Polik, Mishum the Miflag Polik, there's an objective chiluk here, a separation, and that's not a shame Erev. So we can look at the Erev, and with the naked eye we see it's not an Erev. It's in two different Kalim. Aval Hossam there. Even though one person was makbid on his Eruv, but it's all put into one Kli, Emalo, we would think that doesn't possible, because when you look at the Eruv, it's a perfectly good Eruv. Is Tricha, therefore I need Shmuel to teach me both Dinim. But at the end of the day, the underlying logic that invalidates the Eruv in both cases is identical. The Rashba says that in the first din of Makpid El Eruvo, we don't paskin la locha like Shmuel, but rather we accept Rabbi Chanina, who disagrees, and he validates the Eruv, because Rabbi Chanina is the older colleague of Shmuel. Also, we have a klal called Halocha Kedivrei HaMekel B'Eruv. But with regard to the second din of Hacholik Es Eruvo, here we paskin like Shmuel, because we don't find anyone who disagrees with this halach of Shmuel. Omalei Rabbi Abba l'Rav Yehuda. Here we have a stira within the words of Shmuel himself. Be Matzarta, which is otherwise known as the Beis Habad, where they crush the olives and make the olive oil. Debei Rav Zakai, which belonged to Rav Zakai, Omar Shmuel, right? So anyway, this is a statement of Rabbi Abba to Rabbi Yehuda in a certain location, which is called the Beis Habad of Rav Zakai. Umi Omar Shmuel Acholik Es Eruvo Lishnei Kalim Eino Eruv Omar Shmuel Balabaya Sheminichem Bo Eruv Shall call Dayori Achot Eino Tzarch Litain Af Hues Apas. The host into whose home the Eruv is delivered, in other words, all the people in that Chotzer that share the Chotzer, they agree that so and so, one person in that Chotzer, one of the Dayorim, he will be the host, and they'll all bring their Eruv into his house. He himself, the host, does not have to give the Eruv. In other words, he doesn't have to give his pas. So that's the advantage of hosting. So the Gemara says, my timer. Why is it that he doesn't have to contribute his pas? Lav mishum di omar. Is it not because of Shmuel who holds the kevin demanach besala keman demanach chochadami? That once minastam, we can assume that the Baal Bais has a pas which is somewhere in his basket in his house. We could integrate that loaf of bread into the Eruv together with the pas of the other Bnei Achotzer. Again, even though obviously it's not a place that wasn't, it's not located in one Kli, so we see that HaCholik Es HaEruv B'Shnei Kelim, according to Shmuel, is a valid Eruv, and that's why the host, as we said before, does not have to give and contribute his pas, because he's got a pas in his sal, in his basket. Is Hochinami here too? Came into Manach Basala, Kiman de Manach Hochadomi. Why not assume that once the pas was left in a sal, and it's all in the same house, it's as if it's all together in one keli? Why don't we apply the rule of Shmuel consistently? Amalei's review, the answer is Rabbi Abba, Hasam, there in the case of Abayas, Sheminichem bo Eruv, and the Baal Bayis is Potter. He doesn't have to contribute his pas. The reason is not because he has a pas somewhere in his house in a basket, but Afal Pishayim lo pas, even if he has, he's absolutely pasless in his house, he doesn't have one loaf of bread left in his house, nevertheless he doesn't have to contribute to the Erev with the other Bnei HaChotzim, my taima to Kulo Hochadairi. It means that when the Bnei HaChotzer leave their pas in his house, then that itself is in order to give them the status as if they live in that house where they put the pas. And that's the whole point of giving the pas, contributing the pas. And by contributing the pas into this particular house, I am becoming part of that house. But the Baal Bayis himself, who lives in that house in actuality, he doesn't need some sort of symbolic ritual act that demonstrates that he is part of that bias. He is that bias. And that's what Shmuel meant. Now the Gemara wonders about this case of putting a pas for an Eruv to be matted tiltul in a chatzer. Omer Shmuel, Eruv Mishum Kinyan. The underlying reason or logic for the mechanics of Eruv, in which putting an Eruv is somehow able to link together and integrate all the Bnei HaChotz into one Rishus, is Mishum Kinyan. That by contributing the pas, the Baal Bayis is Makne, he bequeaths a part in his house, a chelik in his bayis, to all the different Dayori HaChotz. So the host is now actually being Makne, part of his house, Chelik B'Beisa, to all the Bnei HaChotz, so that they all are partners in his house, and also in the courtyard that surrounds the house. Therefore, you're allowed to carry from the bottom to the chotzer, because there's only one rishus. The imtomim neima ein konim b'marshal kesef. If the rabbanu were misaking that the eruv works through Torah's kinyonim, such that each one of the contributing dayorim now becomes a partner and acquires ownership in the house, then there should be a requirement in that same enactment to give at least a ma, some sort of minimal amount, to acquire ownership in the house. And for that matter, why do we need a pas? Let's just use ma's. And Gemara answers, mipnei shema kesem eina mitsuya bi'arve shabbosos. It's a Friday afternoon, and he doesn't have money, and the Rabbana wanted to facilitate making it easy as possible that they could set up this Eruv. So what they said is, you know what, everybody has a pas in their house, and let's use the pas as the medium for setting up the Eruv, and setting up, as we said before, your kinyan shutfus in the bayis. In pure theory, a ma'a kesef would be even more demonstrative of a kinyan in the bayis, and a method of kinyan, but we're worried that on Friday afternoon, when people have already spent all their mos, you know, to buy things in preparation for Shabbos, he might not have any mos. But what he certainly will have is a loaf of bread. Let me just backtrack for a moment with regard to Shmuel's principle of Erev Mishum Kinyan. The Gaon Yaakov, as the super commentary on Masechet Erevin, says that according to Shmuel, he doesn't mean that that Kone a chelik in his bias where the Erev is, but rather their Kona a place where they can live. It becomes their residence. And as a result, they are being mevatel their own residence. Now, it's as if they're moving into his house. In other words, they have residence in, you know, in houses that surround and spill into the chotzer. Now they're being mevatel those diros, he says, for the sake of the dira that they're getting in the host's house. And they're all living basically in one house. It's like a little ghetto over here. And he points out that this seems to reflect Rashi's shita, that Eruv Mishum Kinyan means that the Bala Bayis, where the Eruv is located, is Makna, his Rishus, to the Bnei HaChotzer. And that's Rashi's pshat as opposed to Tosus. According to Rashi, they're all living in the house of the host. But Tosus says that what happens is that Kol Bnei HaChotzer Maknim Es Rishusim Zel Zeh, that each one of the Bnei HaChotzer actually bequeaths or transfers ownership over his house to the next one. So that's how they all become Shutfim in all the Batim. And the Kohen Yaakov that we mentioned seems to embellish Rashi's Shita. And it means that the ultimate purpose here is that they all pack in, so to speak, into the dira of the baladira of the host, where the Erev is being left. Now, heichad the Erev miu likni, in a case where a person was ma'arev by giving mos, should that be effective? In other words, you're only allowing a second possibility, a fallback position of having a loaf of bread, but now should we assume that if there was an Erev that was set up in the ideal way, you know, through the L'chatchil way, through Mos, that would be a valid Erev? We never heard of such a thing. So Grant says, Gzeira Shemiyomru Ma Ikar. The Chacham were worried that if they validate this Erev through Nesinas Mos, then perhaps people will say that the Ma is Ikar, that's the main Eruv. And they'll be completely oblivious to the fact that you could make an Eruv out of a pas, Vizimlo Shricha Ma. And in cases where Erev Shabbos they don't have a Ma, that's not accessible, they don't have currency and extra Mos, running around. So lo asi la ruvi bapas, vi asi li eruv la kalkule. In other words, they won't be able to make an eruv bapas because they'll think that the only way of making an eruv is through Mos, and as a result, there'll be a kilkul, and the whole Torah's eruv will be forgotten. So again, the paradox here is that even though from the get-go, the ideal Erev would have been Mos to make a Kinyan, but at the end of the day, Mos is not going to be valid as a Kinyan. And because of the Xerev, because they were so eager to set up this Erev, and we assume he has a pas, but he doesn't have Mos, we are now going to turn everything upside down, and we're going to have the exclusive Erev is only through pas and not Mos. Now, Rava brings another opinion on this matter. Rava Amar, the reason why Erev works to gather together all the Dayorei HaChotzer and integrate them into one Shus is Mishum Dira. By giving the pass to one of these houses and the host receives the pass, now we judge as if all the different Bali HaChotzeros are living in that house. Because that's the normal way a person lives in a house. He lives in a house where he left his food. And they are mevatel their diros, as we said before, in the chotzer to his dira. So Gemara asks, my beinayu, is there any difference between Shita Shmuel and Shita Rabba in terms of explaining the underlying reason why Erev is operative, whether it's Mishum Kinyan or Mishum Dira? Gemara says, Ike Beinayu Kli. The Nafkamina is going to be number one. We'll have three Nafkaminas, but the first of the three is Kli. let's say you want to make the Erev with a Kli. So if you hold Erev Mishum Kinyan, then you can make it with a Kli. And this would be what we call a Kinyan Sudar. But if you hold Erev Mishum Dira, then you can't establish your Dira with something other than a Pas, because a person doesn't live in a place unless there's a, you know, that's where he has his bread. Where you have your bread, that's where you live. Now we have a second afkemina. As far as asiyas erev al yedei hanochas pas, and it has mozen shtei sudos, but it's pachos mishove pruta. If you hold erev mishum kinyan, you cannot make a kinyan and acquire ownership through a pas that's not worth a pruta, because the minimum shear of mamon in order to establish kinyoni kesef is a shava pruta. If on the other hand I accept the opinion of erev mishum dira, then it's irrelevant what the monetary market value of the pas is. If it's mazon shtei sudos, forget about the shava pruta requirement of kinyonim. We're not dealing with kinyonim here. He's just trying to establish his dira, and that he can do with mazon shtei sudos, even if it's not worth a pruta. Now he has a third nafkemina. If let's say you send a shliach, so you're one of the bnei achot, so you send a shliach to bring over the pas, and it's a katan, and the katan is now the emissary, he's representative of the gadol to make, set up an erev chatzeres on his behalf. If you hold erev mishum kinyan, there's no shlifas to a katan. He cannot be kone or makne. But if you're holding that erev is mishum dira, then the Gemara thinks that this erev would be effective, because through the erev of the pas, we can accept the katan's action, not for Torah's shlichus. It's a different kind of a shlichus. It's as if the sholeach is living in that house by contributing his pas. He can send it by mail, he can send it by special delivery, he can send it with a katan. It makes no difference. So this is not a case where a katan is operating v'torah shlichus, which is an impossibility, but rather it's a different kind of an agency. It's not Torah shlichus. Amale abaye le rabba le didi kasha le shmuel kasha. Abaye le dido kasha u le shmuel kasha. Abaye points out that I have a kasha against Yopshat rabba, that Erev is Mishum Dira, and I have a kasha against Shmuel, that Erev is Mishum Kinyan. Ha Tanya, we have a braisa, Chamisha Shigovus Eruvan, so five members of the Dayori, of the Dayorim that live, or share, shall we say, one common chotzer, and they collected from each one of the five his pas for the purpose of an Erev, and they left it in the houses, in the house of one of the members of the chotzer. And now they made a decision, they want to set up an Erev with people who live in a totally different chotzer, and that would allow them to be metaltil from one chotzer to another chotzer. And now the din requires that we have to take an Erev that was left in the bias of the first chotzer, and we're going to have to leave it in the bias of the other chotzer, the second chotzer. And k'shem olichim litzorakach is k'shem olichim es eruvon lemakom acher, so they're bringing now the eruv from chotzer number one to chotzer number two. They don't have to give all of them a pas for this purpose. Echad molich lekula. One could take out a pas, his own pas, and he could set up the Erev on behalf of everybody else. So let's ask the following question. How could this Erev work and be effective for everyone else, according to Shmuel, who says Erev Mishum Kinyan, and who niu de kakani visulo? So So this is a stira kasha on Shmuel, because it says echad molich. That means that he's giving his pass on behalf of everyone else. How would that Erev be effective for everyone else? According to Shmuel, holds Erev Mishum Kinyan, only that one person is giving his pass. He makes a Kinyan on part of the Chatzer, meaning the host's Chatzer, but the other Dayorim that share that Chatzer, they didn't make any Kinyan at all. Now we have another Kasha, according to the Shita of Rabba, that Erev Mishum Dira, Haniu Dekadayer Vesulo. Only that one person who gave the pass for the purpose of the Erev into the other Chatzer, he's considered like he's living in that Chatzer. But the others who did not contribute a pass, how do we achieve the goal of the Erev, that it's as if they're living in the Chatzer? After all, they're living in a different Chatzer. Amalei, so Rabba responds to Abai, lo lididi kashe velo lishmuel kashe. Why? It's not a kasha on either one of us, because everybody agrees that shlichus de kulu ka'ovit, that one person who brings the Erev, contributes his pas as an Erev, he serves as a shliach for all the other dayorim that share the same chatzah. And therefore, whether or not Erev Mishum Kinyan, whether or not Erev Mishum Dira, his shlichus is meaningful to be kone or to be koveh dira on behalf of all the other b'nei hachotzer acheres. The Gemara now brings a psak halacha as far as the machlokas between Chacham Reb Shimon in the case of Sholosh Chatzeros. Omer Rav Chama Bar Guria Omer Rav Halacha ki Rabbi Shimon. We paskin like Rav Shimon with regard to Sholosh Chatzeros Apsucha Zu Lezu. And the Emtsois, the fellow living in the middle Chatzer, is allowed to be Mishtamesh with the other Chatzeros, and the other Chatzeros allowed to be Mishtamesh with the Emtsois. But the Chitzonios, the two Chatzeros on the extreme sides, Asur Lishtamesh Zuim Zu. And now we're up to the Mishnah here on Daf Mem Tesam in Beis. The Mishnah is going to explain the din that a person's koveh his shvisa in a makom rachok through amira. Misha bobederech, he's traveling on the road in Erev Shabbos with choshchalo, and it's about to get dark. Vayamakir ilon ogoder, he becomes aware of a wall of stone, a stone wall, and it's outside of Alpayim Amma from where he's standing, or alternatively recognizes that there's an Ilan or a Goder that from there until his house would be another additional Alpayim Amma. The Omar, and the person makes a declaration, he says, I'm being Kovei Shvisasi Tachtov, my shvisa is underneath the foliage of this tree, so that I can now walk 2,000 amah from that tree and beyond, and I can get back to my house on Shabbos. Lo omar klum. In other words, the amir itself is not effective. And the reason why this is so, apparently, is because lo birer, we have a lack of clarification here. Lo birer es arba ha'amos shel makom shvisasa. In other words, the nof, the foliage of this tree is at a distance of further than 4 amos from where he is. And whenever you want to be kone shvisa, you have to start calculating from where you are. However, if he says, I'm going to be koveh shvisasi be'ikaro, meaning in a place where the geza ha'ilon is located, kanesham shvisa. Why? Because he actually now clarified exactly the place, the specific X place where he wants to be Shoves. And that's okay. Now, he's allowed to be Mahalich after Shabbos starts, Mimokom Shebo Omdos Raglov Viad Ikron Shel Ha'ilon Alpayim Amo. Alpayim Amo. So that in the Risha, in the first case, where he was traveling on Friday and it was coming dark, so he knew of a landmark, a tree or a fence that was within 2,000 amas of both his house and where he's located now, and he said, Shvisasi Tachtov, let my Shabbos residence be Tachtov, meaning underneath this landmark, this tree, then Lo Amar Klum, that's not effective. Because as we said before, the area beneath the tree is a large area, and he didn't designate a definable 4 Amma area as his Makom Shvisa for Shabbos. Okay, however, in this second case, the safer case, where he said, let my Shabbos residence be at this particular tree trunk, which is the Geza, and at this point, he has defined, he has pinpointed a specific area under the tree as his Makom Shvisa. And that's called Be'ikaro, B'makom She'omed Geza Ilan. And he was Kona Sham Shvisa, because he pinpointed a specific area, Mahalech Mimkom Raglov Viad Ikro Alpayim Amo. So he's allowed on Shabbos to walk or to travel from the place that he's standing to the tree trunk for a distance of 2,000 amu, Mikor Viad Beso Alpayim Amo, from the tree trunk to his home, another 2,000 amu. Which basically means, since he's defined the specific 4 amu area as his Makom Shvisa, that's valid, and he was Kona Shvisa, and he's permitted to continue in the direction of the tree, or from the tree to his house. Well, let's say continue in the direction of the tree and from there to his house. So again, we're talking about a case where he knew that the tree was in 2,000 amma of his current location, and from that tree to his house was also within 2,000 amma. Is Nimtza Mahalik Mishachashecha Arbas Alofim Amma. So he's able to travel after Shabbos starts up to 4,000 amma. In other words, the maximum he can travel by this method is 4,000 amma. It could be less than 4,000 amma, depending upon his distance from the tree. Now, it says the following. Im eino makir, if he doesn't know of any landmark, so he's not able to designate a Shabbos Makom Shvisa in the distance, o eino baki ba'alocha, or he's not knowledgeable of the halacha, which allows him to be Kona Shvisa in this particular method, v'yomer, and instead he declared Shvisasi Bimkomi, Bimkomi means B'makom shebo ani omed ato, the place where I'm standing right now, then zochalo makomo, he was kona shvisa in that place, and he has a reshus of alpayim amo l'chol ruach, 2,000 amos in each direction. Now, does he actually have to say anything? It seems like, and that's what Tosus assumes, that his presence automatically acquires a Makom Shvis on his behalf. Okay, now we have the second half of this Mishnah, and let me just set this up here for a second. Yeah. Now, the second half of this Mishnah deals with a machlokas tanoim. How do you calculate 2,000 amah to each ruach? And let's just before we go on to the second of the Mishnah, let's just make a few points to clarify a little bit the first half of the Mishnah. Okay. Now, we mentioned before, let's just go over this point, that a katan who's less than 13, or she's less than 12, is not considered a shliach to effect a legal transaction. According to Shmuel, that we have a kinyan over here to set up the Eruv, then that person who's collecting the pitos, the Eruv breads from the various tayorim, he has to be an agent, he has to be a shliach for the homeowner who will host the Eruv to receive these pitos and in return transfer part ownership of the house to those who are giving, and a minor can't effectuate that. According to Rav, however, that no legal transaction is involved in making an Eruv, a minor is qualified, and that's to set up the deer. Okay, now we're talking about the Mishnah. So we're talking about a traveler who's too far from his house to arrive home before Shabbos, and he's allowed to walk to his house on Shabbos if he can establish his Eruv within the tchum of his house. So the Mishnah is addressing a traveler who, because of the lateness of the hour, he cannot reach the tchum of his house in time to place an Eruv there, and now he wants to get back to his house. So in what way can he establish his Makom Shvisa within the tchum, without even being physically present at that site? And the answer is that if he's makir ilon o goder, and then he declares shvisasi tachtov lo amar klum, and the reason for that is because the area beneath the tree is very large, and it's much more than dalet amos. But if he says shvisasi me'ikaro, which means at the trunk of the tree, not just beneath the tree, he has now defined a specific area under the tree for his makam shvisa, and that is going to be valid. And therefore, mahalech mi makam raglov, the ad ikro, he can walk from the place where he's standing to the trunk of the tree, that's called ikro, for a distance of 2,000 amos. Okay, fine. Now the Mishnah adds, umei karo v'yad beso alpayim ama. From the trunk of the tree, he's going to get himself another 2,000 amah to get home. So imagine, from the tree, the trunk, again, when I say the tree here, I mean the trunk of the tree, he's allowed another 2,000 amah beyond that, and that's where he was kona shvisa, so he gets 2,000 amah, and he can also go from the trunk of the tree back to his house, another 2,000 amah. And the reason for this is because he defined a specific 4 amah area as his makom shvisa, and it's valid. So he can proceed in one direction, that's the direction of the tree. He can proceed from the tree to his house, again, assuming that he knew the tree was within 2,000 amos of his current location, and that from the tree to his house was also within 2,000 amos, and he get a maximum travel of 4,000 amos. Now, the word tachtov here in the ratio, where the statement, his declaration is invalid to be kona shvisa, is tachas nofo shel ilon, which he wanted to establish so that he can go from the nofo shel ilon, tachas nofo shel ilon, another 2,000 amma to get home for Shabbos, is lefishlo birer es arba amos shel mokom shvisosa. Sharei nofo shel ilon rochav yoser mi arba amos. Okay, so that's a point that we didn't emphasize before. The foliage of the ilon is more than 4 amos wide, and that's considered an area that's too large to be considered a makom shvisa. You need to be kona shvisa, and to do so you have to be mavar a makom meduyok, as we say, pinpoint a precise location where he wants to be shoves, and that precise location has to be a 4 amma area, which is exactly what happens in the case of the ikar as opposed to the Tachtov, which was the Tachas HaNof. Now, in the second half of the Mishnah, which has Machlokas Tanoim about how we do the Medida of Alpayim Am in each direction, the Mishnah opens up by saying Agulos, that the Alpayim Am are Agulos. Kloma Shedonim Kilu Yesh Igul Shal Alpayim Am L'chol Ruach Misaviv L'mokum Shvi Soso. And that's Direi Rab Chanina ben Antignos. So this is a circular area with a diameter of 4,000 amos. The Chachamim Omrim, however, the Chachamim disagree, and they say the Alpayim Amos Merubos hein, Kitavla Merubas. So we're talking about a square, and he compares it to a square board, which means that there are two, that basically there are 4,000 amos on each side, right? Ki ilu yesh ribua shel alpayim amos l'chol tzad misaviv kidei sheyeh niskar lezovios, which literally means that he can gain the corners, so that the size that we're talking about has to form a square, and it's got 4,000 amos on each side, and he may gain the corners. Now, the halacha basically operates with the premise that the diagonal of a square is 1.4 times its size. So if you would square the tchum, that allows 800 extra amos towards each corner. So let's say you draw the square due east, due west, due north, due south. So these extra amos will be gained in the northeast, the northwest, the southeast, the southwest corners. And the Mishnah mentions a square board to indicate that in squaring the tchum, one need be no more precise than the average person's ability allows, and therefore it's sufficient for it to be as square as what is generally considered to be a square board, even if the board should prove to be slightly out of line when measured with precise instruments. So says the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos. So that when you put this circle of the Tchum of Rav Chanina ben Antignos inside a square, so you'll actually gain in each one of these four corners, these zavios, 800 amma. Sheyuchal aleches balakson, and now we can go in a diagonal, yoser me'alpayim amma, more than 2,000 amma. It's going to be 2,800 amma. Me'achar v'hura shoy lelech alpayim amma be'emtza ribua. Right, so within the square, he's allowed to go alpayim amma. And now, nimtzi sheyesh lo reshus lelech balakson alpayim ushmona Meos Amma, 2,800 Amma. But in the case of an eagle, that's in Rabbi Chanina's circle, Ein lo pinos, it has no corners, and therefore, li'olam, it's only possible, under all circumstances, maximum, of Lelech Alpayim Amma, exactly 2,000 Amma, not more. Now the Mishnah brings a machlokes about who's allowed to set up an eruv through hiluch raglov without nesinas pas. V'zohi she'omru chachamim ha'oni ma'ariv beraglov. Now it's in the following case, according to the Tanakhama, a person is allowed to be mahalich b'derech. He's traveling on the road, ain't any mopas, he has no bread. And since he is on the road, we're going to treat him as if he's an ani. It doesn't matter how much money he owns. And the Chachamim say he could be koveh shvisa through hiluch raglov. And he doesn't have to put down a pas. Whereas Rabbi Meir holds on Rabbi Meir, anu, ain lanu, ela ani. In other words, we don't hold this din of Erev Baraglov unless the person who's walking and traveling is an Ani. But where is Rav Meir disagreeing? Aval Odom Shenimtza Bebeso, Ein Rashoy Lekvah Shvisosa Baraglov, El Chayev Laniach Pas. So it seems that both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Meir will validate an Eruv in the case of a traveler with Raglov, with his feet. He has no food. He cannot establish an Eruv. We're going to permit him to establish an Eruv with his feet. And Rabbi Meir says, Anu ein lanu ela ani. Okay, so I don't know how to translate those words, any oni oni. He says here, Ein anu sovrim din zeshel erev beregel, Ela b'mahalich b'derech, Hanidon ke'oni. Now, I don't see where that, you know, I don't see where he's arguing against the previous quoted opinion of the Chachamim, because they say Ani Amar Baraglov Klomar Baofen Zeh Shal De Mahalik B'derech Ve'Ani Mo Pas V'Nidon Hu Ke'Ani. So I'm not sure if there's a machlokis here between, there should be a machlokis here between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, but I don't see it. Maybe this will become clear as we go along. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Echad Oni V'Echad Oshir. The halacha of being koveya a kvir shvisa makum shvisa through hiluch beraglov applies both to an Oni and to an Oshir. Lo omru ma'arvin bepas elo hakel al Oshir shelo yetze v'yarev beraglov. So the Chachamim would make it on a person who has a pas. allowing him to use the pas, even if he's not holech baraglav, he sends a shliach. And that's how he's going to be kona shvisa. But if he wants to be koveh shvisa lelech through alicha, bekoveh shvisa baraglav, he doesn't need a pas. So that's clear, that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the two Tanoim that came before the Tanakam and Rabbi Meir. But what exactly is the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Meir? Thus Vesachnish. This I don't know. All right, we'll stop here, and Emirat Hashem, in the next year, we'll start the Gemara.